All right, so we are starting Hebrews this evening. And that is in the Kindle on page 399. Is it the same for you guys in the paperback? All right, good. All right, here we go. By this time, you recognize that the Son of which I speak is you. There were no prophets or angels of heaven. There is only you, how you saw yourself, and how you are coming to see yourself now. It is as if you have been on an elevator ride, going up within the awareness of yourself. But the elevator ride is only a rise in awareness, a rise in acceptance. That which you are, you have always been. There is no change within the oneness that is you. Now, last week we were looking at Philemon. And what Philemon is telling us is you are everything. And what we talked about last week is the way in which you are everything. It's not that this body, Regina, is everything. It's not even that this mind of Regina is everything. But the awareness that is really in the background of everything is in the background of everything. It's the exact same awareness. The awareness that I seem to have, although those words are completely wrong, which I'll go back to in a moment, but the awareness that I seem to have and the awareness that you seem to have is the exact same awareness. And the reason I said those words are completely wrong, if you listen to them, the awareness that I seem to have, it's as if there is some I there that possesses the awareness. And that's not true, because the awareness is foundational. The I thought, the identity that I'm a person, comes after the awareness, right? And when it disappears, the awareness is still there. Yeah, so there is no I that has an awareness. Yeah. And so that's really what this is starting to point to. This is saying you're starting to recognize that there were no prophets or there were no angels of heaven, meaning someone separate than you, better than you, higher than you, wiser than you. There's only you, only awareness, right? And how you saw yourself and how you're coming to see yourself now. And it says, you know, that really it's like an elevator ride, in that we are rising up in our own awareness of who we are. Verse 5. When has the Father ever indicated, even for a moment, that today you are different than you were yesterday? Never has the Father indicated this. You are the one who has said, I am changing. But this change you seem to experience is not a change in what you are at all. It is only a growing awareness of what has always been. You are awakening to the truth of what you are. So it does seem, when we're on the spiritual path, it does seem like we change, you know? I mean, I've talked to you guys about how I used to get angry, and now I don't really get angry anymore. And, you know, it seems like we change, and we can talk about how I'm changing and, you know, how I was a year ago compared to how I am now. But if you really look at that very, very deeply, you realize what's changing is the mind. The awareness is exactly the same. It's never changed. And so this is what's being pointed out, is you aren't really changing at all. But the mind is becoming more aware of what you are. But you have never, ever changed. Some people would say that what's happening is the mind is kind of returning home. And when the mind returns home, at some point the mind disappears, disintegrates. It dies in itself. It goes back home and disappears. But it's like the mind is returning home. It's as if the mind is awakening, but the end of that awakening is no mind, if that makes any sense at all. But the awareness has never fluctuated. It has never changed. The awareness was the same when you were, whatever your worst was in this life, when you were at your worst, as it is now when you're at the best that you've experienced in this lifetime. Right? So in the you I'm talking about there is the mind. But the awareness is the same. Verses 6 to 9. You rise above your own thoughts. your misperceptions of yourself, and through awareness of what is true, and through awareness that the false was never true, you anoint yourself with the oil of your own joy. So as we rise above our own thoughts, as we learn not to listen to our own thoughts, really what's happening is our awareness is becoming more and more present. Because the only thing that ever hid the awareness was our thoughts, right? And as our, you know, I was noticing, when was this? It seems like it was yesterday, but it could have just been all weekend. I was noticing awareness, like awareness that is here, you know, I don't know how else to say it, you know, my awareness, I don't know how else to say it, but I was noticing awareness, I was noticing what awareness was noticing, like awareness is, I don't know how to describe this. Maybe because the mind is not as active, and so I'm not lost in the mind. You know what it's like to be lost in the mind, lost in thought, and you don't see what's around you. Because I don't have as much of that as I used to. I'm not going to say it doesn't ever happen, but it's happening less. What's happening is awareness becomes more aware of things. Like awareness will zoom in on a bug. Awareness will zoom in on a flower. Awareness will zoom in. And, you know, I was just watching everything awareness was noticing. I mean, awareness is looking at this, and awareness is looking at this, and awareness is looking at this. And it's just like the only thought that I could have about that was like awareness is having a party. You know, awareness is having, it's having so much fun just being awareness, noticing that stick, noticing that rock, noticing that. And, you know, and it doesn't do all that, or maybe it still does, and we just don't notice it when we're lost in thought, right? But as we're rising above our own thoughts, then what we're aware of is what awareness is aware of, if that makes any sense. And it becomes very joyful. It's a very joyful experience just to notice all of these. There's so much to notice. And it's constantly noticing things.
That makes sense with that saying I told you that I read in that book about the Buddhist little comments that it said, an enlightened mind is in constant amazement.
Yes.
And I asked you, is that possible? But you know, now that you're saying that, like,
yes.
That's a good...
Yeah.
Can we unpack that just briefly?
Unpack that? What do you mean?
Amazing.
Amazing?
Because I know I'm more familiar with it I am today than I was even 5-6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you did point that out, but I found out, you know, firsthand that it's exquisite and it can be like high. What did we say? Excited.
Amazing.
To me, like so, oftentimes things that are what are called high octane are like amazing. So those are even more amazing. But
yes.
Sometimes like the amazement doesn't wear off, and so even like mundane, ordinary things that I used to perceive or now somehow that oftentimes they're like amazing or potentially.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of the movie. I can't think of the movie. The one with Dan Millman. Do you remember the name of that movie? My mind has lost it. But anyway, there's a scene in the movie. His teacher's name is Socrates. And there's a scene in the movie when he's going to meet with his teacher, and what he really wants to do is be somewhere else. So he's trying to hurry the teacher up. And he tells the teacher, you know, well, there's nothing going on here, because the teacher's trying to get him to notice. And he says, there's nothing going on here. And Socrates reaches out and grabs a hold of Dan and does something, like some kind of transmission, where all of a sudden Dan's awareness is doing what we just talked about. And he's noticing the couple over there kissing, and he's noticing the dog shaking the water off, and he's noticing the bug, and he's, you know, and he realized a moment ago he thought there was nothing going on because he was so stuck on himself, right? And now he just sees that there's stuff going on everywhere all the time. There's so much stuff just to look at. I mean, really, just to look at and be amazed by. Yeah. So again, 6-9 says, you rise above your... Oh, Peaceful Warrior is the name of the movie. It just came. You rise above your own thoughts, your misperceptions of yourself. And through awareness of what is true, and through awareness that the false was never true, you anoint yourself with the oil of your own joy. And now you see. All that you have known beyond the thoughts that cloud the mind is emerging as the truth you have always known. You are eternal. This personality is not you. This world is not you. Not even these interactions are able to define you as you. And by these interactions, what Spirit was really talking to was me directly saying, not only this being able to hear me and write it down, this experience you have of you know, channeling Spirit or whatever you call it, not even this defines you of you, as you. They are all temporal, an experience of the imagination of mine. They shall pass, and you shall still be you as you have always been and as you shall forever be. So again, if we are the awareness, right, the personality comes and goes and the awareness is still present. Any experience, you know, today I went to see Mother Mira, who is a spiritual leader, I guess. And what she does is she gives silent darshan. So you go up in front of her and you lower your head and she touches your head for a few seconds. And then when she takes her hands off your head, you're supposed to look up into her eyes and she stares into your eyes until she's done. And then she lowers her head and then you go on and it's the next person's turn. And, you know, what I noticed when I was at the darshan was I noticed that I was watching everyone else have darshan. And she gave us a mantra to say. So I'm saying the mantra, and I'm watching everybody else do darshan. And then the next thing I'm doing is when it's your turn, you go up and you get on your knees and you actually walk up the aisle on your knees until you see her. Then the next thing that was happening is I was on my knees, and I really found that to be very devotional. I was surprised how much I loved that. So I was really enjoying the experience of being on my knees. And then I was in front of her, and she was touching my head, and I was looking at her, and I felt like I was saying hi, is how I felt. Like I was only smiling, I wasn't speaking, but I felt like I was saying hi to someone. And then that was over, and then I'm back at my chair doing, and what I noticed was all these experiences were temporary. You know, like this was happening, and then this was happening, and then this was happening, and now this was happening. And I was noticing how everything was very, very temporary. But what was constant in all of that was my awareness. Or awareness, they had used the word my again, but that's what was constant. And so for me, the moment of being with Mother Mira was no more special than the moment of waiting in my chair for me to be called, the moment of being on my knees, walking forward. Like every one of those moments in a way were the same, right? You understand?
It's part of it.
Yeah, everything.
Whatever that is, it's part of it.
Yeah, and that's what this is really saying even in a bigger way. You know, even this personality is a temporary experience. This world is a temporary experience. Hearing Spirit, you know, people think that is so cool. Some people do anyway. They want so bad to hear Spirit like Regina did or like somebody else did. But guess what? That was just another temporary experience. None of these temporary experiences are special. They all come and they all go. Every one of them, they have that in common. They all come and they all go. There's only one thing that's real. And it's the thing that's here as all these other things come and go.
Do you think they affect the awareness? Because I think of what you said last week, that, you know, once you look at it, now it's in your awareness. It belongs inside because now it's part of your awareness. These things that are temporary are affecting the awareness somehow, do you not think?
Depends on what you mean by the word effect, I would say. Something is enjoying them, yes.
Touching it.
Yes. Yeah, no, I get that, yeah.
I can't find it.
Like when I was walking the day and like this, you know, the awareness looked at this purple flower, I mean, in fact, my experience of saying hi to the purple flower and hi to Mother Mira were exactly the same. And the best way to describe that experience was, I am so glad this moment occurred. I'm so glad this moment of seeing this purple flower occurred. I'm so glad this moment of looking in this woman's eyes occurred. I'm so glad this moment of looking out and seeing those clouds occurred. And you could call that, the, you know, using the word effect, touch. Yes, there's something there.
I guess I go back to what really speaks to me is all of reality is God relating to God.
Yes, all of reality is God.
So I'm thinking these things that are happening in the now, temporal or temporary, is God relating to God.
Yes.
And it is affecting God. It is giving joy.
Yes.
I can't find the
Yes, and in that way, I think it's fair to say, no, when people say that the true self is never affected, what they mean is you can't alter it, you can't change it.
No, not that kind of thing.
So, effect. Yes, so the way you're using the word affected, I would say it is affected. Yeah, it's touched, is the best way to say it. It's touched, it has a moment, right, with this thing that's present right here. It's being present is the way most people often describe it, that. Being present with whatever is here right now, right?
When you were talking about this woman looking in your eyes, reminded me when my youngest son was about 3, and he's always such a sensitive soul, and he would be playing, but then he would get to where he, I guess, needed a connection, and he would come up to me, and he would say, "Let me look at your mommy face," and he'd take my face, and hold it and look into my eyes. He just poured into my eyes for like 30 seconds to a minute, but he needed that connection, that contact, to be affected, to give him something, nourishment, something. I was so touched that he would do that. You know, he needed that.
Yeah, that's sweet.
So it makes me think of that when you said about those, and then when I say that God, it's God relating to God, it's a relating that we're
yes.
doing. Because we are all
God. In fact, even when I had the experience of being the apple and Jasmine took a bite out of the apple, as the apple, that's how I experienced her bite, was as relating.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I experienced it. Yeah.
God is all about relationships.
Yeah. All right, so again, all experiences are temporal, and they pass. They shall pass, and you shall still be you, as you have always been, and as you shall forever be. So starting with 9. That recognition that feels this truth, that is the edge of the awareness of you. It is there. Oh, sure. That recognition. Okay, let me go back and read a little bit, because it's really talking about this previous recognition that starts at verse 6. So let me read from verse 6 all the way through. You rise above your own thoughts, your misperceptions of yourself, and through awareness of what is true, and through awareness that the false was never true, you anoint yourself with the oil of your own joy. And now you see all that you have known beyond the thoughts that cloud the mind is emerging as the truth you have always known. You are eternal. This personality is not you. This world is not you. Not even these interactions are able to define you as you. They are all temporal, an experience of the imagination of mind. They shall pass, and you shall still be you, as you have always been, and as you shall forever be. That recognition that feels this truth, that is the edge of the awareness of you. It is there in your awareness now. It has always been there, a part of your core knowledge. It has never doubted itself. It has always been the same. Rejoice. This knowledge, which you are aware of, is your truth. This is the knowledge of you. So what there is something in us, and in fact, I think it's really strong in most of us when we're children. And then as we get older, we somehow lose it, you know. But what this is saying is there's something in us that has always known that we are awareness, and it's always known that we are eternal, right? And you know, I can kind of remember being aware of that as a child. And then you lose it. As you become an adult, you lose it. But you know that. You know that your awareness, and you know that you're eternal. And, you know, as a child, I remember the idea of death was just unthinkable. You know, I mean, people talked about it, but it wasn't a real thing, right? It wasn't a thing, you know, because life lives, and you know that as a kid. That's what life does. Life lives. Life doesn't die. And so this is saying you have always known this, and you covered it up with your adult thinking, but it's still there. Because this is something that everybody knows. This is a fact. Every step has been a stepping stone within awareness only. There is no change. You are eternally, lovingly, and perfectly whole as you are now. So again, all chapter one is telling us is that, you know, we may experience ourselves as changing on the spiritual path. But if we look more carefully, we realize that there's something here that's never changed. Again, it was the same when we were five as it is now, right? And everything else is a temporal experience.
Well, I think you had even said it sometimes, it's a remembering, you know, because we, like you said, you've always known. I don't remember as a child having that feeling, did you, that you said about knowing that maybe it's just a certain special people.
No, I don't think it's certain special people, because it's not thinking. It's prior to thinking. So it's before your mind was cluttered with a lot of thinking. So maybe it's just that you don't remember that far back. Because it's not thinking. It's not like you think you know. It's a knowing that's there. And when people talk about something other than that, it's like what they're saying is foreign. But then eventually you start to adopt their concepts and you forget what you knew in the first place. Yeah. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Knowing the truth, you must pay careful attention to your mind. To sleep while you are awakening will seem to cause great sadness, because it is awakening that is your heart's desire. And we all know, even though we want to let go of judging ourselves, we all know that how we feel if we slip. You know, it just, we don't feel good about that. And that's what this is saying. You know, really, now that you're really starting to awaken, it actually becomes even more important to stay awake. Because when you fall back into sleep and you act the way you used to, it's going to hurt a whole lot more than it used to hurt.
Seems it's I had it and lost it, or that, even that seems to diminish.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
So, but I agree wholeheartedly that it's extremely painful.
Yes, but I agree. I can make a mistake now, and I could just watch my own mistake. But when this came, that wasn't true. I would make a mistake, and I would be all, oh, why did I do that? I should have known better. I should have. And so this is talking about that phase. This is talking about that phase when I would, you know, make a mistake and lose my temper again or something like that, and then really be down on myself even more than I would have at an earlier time. And so that's the phase that Hebrews is really going to address. And in fact, as we go through Hebrews, we're going to see that Hebrews is talking about, there's a place in Hebrews where it talked about in the morning time, if you were awakening in the morning time and you didn't have to set your alarm and get up at a particular time, some of us kind of wake up and then we doze a little bit more, right? Then we wake up and then we doze a little bit more. Hebrews is addressing that phase where we seem to be doing that in the awakening process. We wake up and then we doze a little more, and then we wake up and then we doze a little more. But then Hebrews says, but overall, what are you really doing? You're waking up. Yeah. And so that's what Hebrews is pointing out. Hebrews is really teaching us not to be hard on ourselves during that period of contrast where we seem to go back and forth. Yeah. So that's the phase of awakening that it's addressing.
Yeah. I'm happy to report that the the painful return of the ego, the unwelcome return, even those start to get further apart and
yes.
further away.
Yes.
So that's really sad. It's like getting kicked out of a... Another thing I can even compare it to, it's like getting kicked out of your party, best friend's party or something. some I said that it's that disappointing. I mean, it's just really, and I know you talked about it before, but it is, I think that's really important that, often, a lot of people talk about I had it and I lost it. You know, I did have it and I lost it. Or somehow. And that's another distraction. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, in fact, that's why I always enjoy what Peace Pilgrim talks about, the hills and the valleys of the spiritual path. And the hilltops are when, you know, we're in the flow, we're feeling peace, we're joyous, but then we go back into ego. That's the valley. But she says the valleys are important because that's where more ego is coming up to be seen and let go. And so, you know, again, everything is happening for your healing. So, and also in A Course in Miracles, you know, Jesus says you don't know your retreats from your advances, because we think that, oh no, I slipped, I lost it. And you know, this is all still awakening. Like Hebrews will say later, when you're dozing and waking up and dozing and waking up in the morning, what are you doing? You're waking up. And that's what's happening with us too. But we all know there does seem to be that phase where there's like this sense of gain, loss, or forward, back, or I had it and I lost it, I had it and I lost it. That's just part of the process. And that's really the phase that Hebrews is addressing. So, again, looking back at verses 1 to 4, knowing the truth, you must pay careful attention to your mind. To sleep while you are awakening will seem to cause great sadness, because it is awakening that is your heart's desire. Accept the state of mind that you now experience. Be joyful regarding the awakening that is occurring. Let the awakened mind lead in all things, and the sleeping mind will join the purpose of awakening. So again, you can see in the second paragraph it's talking about when the mind is really quite split, but it's asking us to accept that state of mind, of being in that state of contrast or that state of split. The mind is split, but this split is not to be mourned, for the split is but an illusion in the state of awakening. Now, this can be very hard to believe when you're in this particular phase, but really, the awareness is the same. Whether you happen to be slipping into the wrong mind right now, or whether you're alert and you're in the right mind right now, the awareness that is watching the show, the 4D show from inside, is the same. So that's what this is telling you. This split that you're looking at, it's an illusion. Your awareness is not split, right? This is the mind we're talking about. So the mind is split, but this split is not to be mourned, for the split is but an illusion in the state of awakening. Awaken the mind. Again, we're actually awakening the mind, because awareness has never fallen asleep. Awaken the mind by being gentle to the split. Whisper quietly to it that which is your true desire, and it shall respond naturally by opening its eyes to you unto you. So when your mind starts going back into ego, slipping into the wrong mind, this is really asking us to be like the coach. Or a couple weeks ago we were talking about the Okinawan mother that is gently guiding, right? And you say to the mind, okay, mind, I see you're getting really upset by this. I understand, you know, you want to yell and scream and kick, but is that what we really want? And, you know, it's funny, ever since Titus, NTI is asking us to partner with the mind in awakening. And some people don't understand this because they think, but the mind's the enemy. But what NTI seems to say is that you can call the mind home. And somehow as you call it home and you bring it into your heart, then the mind just vanishes in the heart. So you're actually working with your mind and you're calling your mind home, and it is literally the mind that is awakening. And when the mind rejoins with the heart, there is no more split, and that's what we call awakening. That's what we call awakening. But you're not going to call the mind home by yelling at it and scolding it. And, you know, you got to guide it with gentleness, guide it with love. So the mind is split, but this split is not to be mourned, for the split is but an illusion in the state of awakening. Awaken the mind by being gentle to the split. Whisper quietly to it that which is your true desire, and it shall respond by opening its eyes unto you. One mind is as it is. One spirit is only one. There is no separation. Now, we talk about mind and spirit or mind and awareness as if they're separate things. But what this is saying, again, is even that idea is an illusion. This is a way of talking about what we have to talk about here, but there's no separation. Rejoice at this fact and sing loudly your hymns of gratitude. The sleeping mind is awakening, and it will join in the singing with you. The awakened mind is one with the sleeping mind. In this way, you may see them as brothers. One has awakened unto the light and is joyous and grateful. The other still suffers within its dreams. But the awakened mind and the sleeping mind are not separate. Both are within your mind in this state of awakening. Both are you, and both are led through your realization of truth. Now again, this is talking to someone who's in a particular state of awakening where they can be very right-minded sometimes and very wrong-minded sometimes. Right? I mean, they're capable of both right now. And this is saying, you know, there's not two minds here. There's not two minds here. And there is only you here. And so remember this. It's not like, you know, a part of you is bad and a part of you is good.
Yeah, that's good news.
Right? That's not true. This is just a state that you're going through right now. Accept this state. Remember, everything that's happening here is you. The only thing that's happening here is awakening. And just continue to be gentle and continue to guide in the direction of your true desire as you move through this, what can be a very painful state. Actually, it seemed to me when I was going through it that this was more painful in my case than before awakening. You know?
The split
phase was harder to tolerate than before there was any right mind at all. So for some people, this can be a very difficult phase, and this is why we need Hebrews to coach us, remind us everything's okay. You're moving in the right direction. Now you be the coach and you remind yourself that you're moving in the right direction. Be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with your wrong mind. You know, keep coming home. Just keep walking in the same direction. Let the awakened mind dance within your awareness, and the sleeping mind shall rouse itself within your hymns of joy. This is the miracle of awakening. It is by your choice that awakening to awareness shall occur. And so what this means is you want to keep making that choice all the time, regardless of which mind, which part of your mind seems to be in the lead at the moment, the right mind or the wrong mind. So when your wrong mind is really in the lead, now I had a slip, I think I mentioned this to you guys last week, I had a slip about a week and a half ago when Jasmine got mad at me on the golf course. And I got hurt, you know, and that's kind of a slip. But I had a very, very, very interesting experience that I didn't tell you about. I was hurt for about an hour to an hour and a half. I don't know how long it lasted.
Because your daughter was mean to you.
Yeah, because my daughter was yelling at me on the golf course. And what was really interesting about that hour and a half is it was like a throwback to the way my mind used to be. Like I went back, you know, a number of years. And what I found was I was actually enjoying being there. I was enjoying, oh yeah, this is what that felt like. Oh yeah, this is what that felt like. Oh yeah. And it wasn't like I was wallowing in it. I don't mean it to that level. But I was enjoying noticing the contrast. That's the only way I can describe it. I was enjoying noticing the difference of how you perceive the world from the wrong mind point of view. And how you perceive the world from the right mind. And I've been experiencing the right mind so regularly that to be thrown back into the wrong mind was interesting. Now, what part of me was perceiving it as interesting? The wrong mind? It couldn't have been. It couldn't have been. So there's something that can transcend the wrong mind even when the wrong mind is active. Right? The wrong mind doesn't have to take over. And so what this is saying is, remember, it's your choice. So even when your wrong mind gets active, if you find yourself getting angry, you find yourself getting hurt, you find yourself getting jealous, you can choose to observe that, right? And that's not your wrong mind that's doing the observing. And so no matter what seems to be happening with the mind, you can still be the observer or the watcher or the viewer. You know, you can still be watching the movie, right? Don't leave the seat of watching the movie, no matter what the mind is doing. And you're going to keep right on awakening. You're going to awaken even as the wrong mind is going absolutely wild if you stay in that watcher position. So, that's Hebrews 1 and 2. And, you know, if you guys are up for it, I think the assignment probably this week would be just that, you know, watch. Watch the right mind when the right mind is active. Watch the wrong mind when the wrong mind is active. And don't identify with either. Don't identify, oh, I'm the wrong mind. And don't identify, oh, I'm the right mind. Yeah. Be the watcher of both and realize, notice their temporariness. Notice how it shifts back and forth between wrong mind and right mind. And notice how you're the same. You're always there, no matter which one seems to be active right now. To be the watcher of the mind. And a lot of people misunderstand mind watching. You know, they misunderstand that term. You can tell because they think it's a struggle. You know, like, I think they think mind watching means mind controlling.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, and so they think it's, well, mind watching is not that hard. It's like watching a movie. So keep that attitude. You're just watching the movie of the mind. So I will go ahead and turn this recorder off, and we'll have a moment of silence.